Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversation. And now, let's get on with today's show. Our guest today is Pam Johnson. Pam has been singing since she was able to talk, which was somewhat frustrating for her mother when she would try to sing her to sleep and she would instead sing along. Pam started singing lessons when she was 16 and continued through college, gaining a Bachelor of Music degree in vocal performance. As a mother to a daughter as well, Pam thinks it's essential that girls' voices are heard. The doors that were just being opened to women when she went into the work world needs to be held open and walked through by the next generation of women. If a girl's voice is too soft or too high, she won't be taken seriously. If her voice is stuffed down in her throat, much of what she is saying won't be heard. Pam teaches women how to have a powerful voice that will draw a listener in and make them take notice. Well, welcome, Pam. I'm so excited to have you today, and I love the topic that we're going to be talking about. I think it's one that a lot of parents, especially moms and women, can relate to, and we're going to talk a little bit about voice and impact. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about whining and maybe how we can start working on correcting that. But I'd love for you to start by just telling our listeners a little bit about you and your background and why the work that you do is so important for women.
Well, I am Pam Johnson, and I am a voice coach. My background is that I have a Bachelor of Music in vocal performance. So what that means is that you're trained to be a singer, and then you're also trained to teach singing. I also have experience as a voiceover talent for radio and TV commercials and educational videos and things like that. So something that had been simmering and something that I'd been hearing and was becoming concerned about was the sound of young women's voices. And men do it too, but women, just being the feminist that I am, I was more concerned about it. And what I really wanted to do is change their voices, because I was hearing a lot of vocal fry. They're talking down here. And the problem with that is, you know, someone who's a bit older and has been to one too many rock concerts and has run the vacuum cleaner and the lawnmower and the snowblower, our hearing, you know, starts to go a little bit. And I would lose the last half of virtually every sentence. So I thought, you're not being heard. I'm not hearing all of your message. And I'm not going to tell you that because I don't want to embarrass you in a meeting. But I have just lost half of what you're saying. So working with these younger women, it is essential to me to grow those new leaders. They have to be heard. Or otherwise, we're not going to move forward. So it's a deep-seated feeling for me.
Yeah, and it's really important because it's something that I think that is really overlooked. And when we talk about leadership and women's leadership, my core belief is that it really begins with the self and the woman leading herself and a girl understanding who she is at her core and leading herself through her life. Because unless you really know who you are authentic to who you are, you can't lead other people because it won't be a true action. People don't, cling their cart to someone else unless they really see the authenticity and the truth. And there is, you know, part of that leadership is, like you said, girls, you know, voicing what they want or what they don't want.
And when we say the word voice, we never really think about the tone of voice that she's using or how she's using her words or how the tone of your voice can, you know, imply a certain thing. And I don't know if it's this generation anymore, but I know when I was younger and in high school, a lot of girls would really start with this really like high-pitched kind of voice. And they thought it was really cute, and they would do that around the boys and the guys. And, you know, they, you know, I remember being in high school, and the girls would come near the male teachers, and their voices would automatically go up, and they would cock their head to the side. And I was like, I don't understand this. And I was like, do you think that's eliciting a good response? And maybe it did out of the men. And maybe I should have tried that, and they would liked me more. But, you know, there's definitely instances where I've seen the power of the voice that you use. Right. And, you know, my background as a paramedic, we had to be able to come onto scenes, whether we were, you know, going into another hospital, into their trauma room, or if I was, you know, entering a scene with, you know, a 10-car pileup, and having to gain control very quickly of the situation. And what was interesting to me is, having worked in a male-dominated field, because most of the people that worked in EMS were men, firefighters, police officers, most paramedics were men, they would come in with these really loud, strong, deep, boisterous voices, you know, your typical, like, you know, gorilla beating their chest type situation. And I tried at some points to really kind of bark out a little bit how it seemed to me what they were talking, and it was thrown back into my face as you know, being labeled, you know, bitchy or nasty or, you know, unkind. And so I played with my voice actually, and I learned to be able to come into situations, and I knew that my strength, my power as a leader came in bringing my voice down where it wasn't high pitched, but also bringing down the volume for me worked really well, because I was able to get people's attention. So when the room, the energy was really loud and buzzing and people are, you know, yelling back and forth, they're looking at, to me as a leader to know what the next step is with the patient or what we were doing. And so they wanted to hear what I had to say. So if I brought my voice down and I wasn't yelling, the energy in the entire room would come down. Right. And I didn't realize that until I was much older. And I started making that connection with my girls when they were little. Because what happens when your two-year-old is screaming and jumping and having a tantrum, we start escalating our own voices. And we start getting really, really loud. And, you know, maybe we'll start yelling at them or not, but our voice changes. And what happens is her energy level would change too. And so all of a sudden we'd both be up here and nothing was happening. And what I learned from my daughter's preschool teacher was when they were upset and angry was to bring my voice down calmer and quietly. And because they were so curious, they would start getting quieter to hear what I was saying. And I think that's remarkable and such a tool that we have that is so underutilized, right, with voice. So what are, you know, you talked about girls on, and I think the term you used was like fry, like they brought their voices down really low like that and you couldn't hear that. And it was funny because, I've seen that happen and I didn't understand, you know, why, that happened. What are some other common things that girls and women do with their voices that can elicit a different response or give a different perspective that are things that we should be aware of?
Well, in voiceovers, we learn because we only have our voices to get across a message. So if I'm not on TV, you cannot see my facial expressions. You cannot see my body language. So as a singer, we learn how to move our voices around in our heads. You know, we have that technical knowledge. So then I was able to use that as a voiceover talent. And you find that specific tones of voice elicit specific responses. So if there's a sale, there's your high excited voice. I'm very excited. There's a sale. There's a puppy. Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in 15 years. And it's pitched right up about here. One of my clients teaches at Discovery World, which is this really cool place that shows the Great Lakes and blah, blah, blah. And he teaches kids on field trips. And he said, well, yeah, Pam, when I have the younger kids, I talk a lot higher. And I said, stop doing that, because the response that you're going to get is that you're going to get them more excited. And they're already wound up because mm-hmm. they're on a field trip. The other tone of voice is, or the other pitch of the voice. And that's, when I say pitch, it's where you're placing it in your head. The other pitch is right up about by your cheekbones. And that's the mommy voice. That's the trust me voice. That's the okay. So as a paramedic, if you are one-on-one with someone, then you can say, you will be all right. Mm-hmm. Do not worry. You are fine. Things will be okay. So you're pitching it right up about here. That's also, in one workshop, I said, there's your mommy voice. Mm-hmm. And this woman says, that's not the way I talk to my kids. And I said, when they're hurt. So, okay. So, and what you find is that that tone of voice, this tone of voice right here, is what is used in every pharmaceutical ad, every last one of them, because you can trust me. The tone right here, the pitch right here, is information. I'm giving you something that I want you to remember. We're just, you know, this is where we are. So this is where we talk when we're in business and things like that. This is strictly information.
You know, what so often I hear when I'm, you know, working with moms or talking to moms, and I ask them, you know, especially in like the 7 to 9 age group with girls, I say, you know, what's your biggest challenge right now with your daughter? And 9 out of 10 times they'll say, she's just so sassy to me. I'm like, well, tell me a little bit more about that. What does that mean, she's so sassy to you? Oh, well, when she talks to me, you know, she'll roll her eyes, but her voice and her tone, or she'll say to things to me that just come off so sassy. And it might not even be the words that she's using, it's the tone. And right away I say to them, you know, tone of voice is not something that I think is innately or so easily learned right away, especially for children, right? You think of a 7-year-old and what they've gone through since they were born, and they're just learning to talk, and they're still learning vocabulary, and they're still learning language, and they're being immersed with people talking and using, you know, expressions and sarcasm. And so they start hearing, you know, because we're modeling these tones of voice, these expressions, this behavior. You know, sometimes we moms sass to each other to their friends with different tone. We use sarcasm, and then the child starts mimicking the sarcasm, or they start mimicking the tone of voice that they've picked up from a television show, and they use it to the mom. And then the mom goes, you're sassing me. But the child doesn't realize that the tone of the of her voice or how she stated that comment comes off as being rude or condescending. And I know this because I've experienced it with my own daughter. And I've said to her, you know, she'll say something to me, and instead of me like getting really angry, I'll say, is that what you meant to say to me? And did you mean to say it in that manner? And sometimes she'll look at me with her eyes open like, crap, what did I just say? Like, I know now what I just did was probably not. And then I'll ask her, like, what are you meaning? What are you trying to tell me right now? Mm-hmm. And then she'll tell me. And 9 out of 10 times, it's not what she's trying to say to me is not what she just said to me. And then I'll say to her, what you just said before in that manner to me means X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And she'll go, oh. And so then you have to start, you know, practicing that. This is when you do this with your voice, it means this. Like, you have power, not just with your words, but you have power in how you say things.
Right.
So you can say to someone, you know, you need to go to your room. Or you can say, you know, you need to go to your room.
Right.
There's such a difference in that. And I think that's such a, you know, I think unless moms really stop and say, hey, wait a minute, that might not be what they're actually trying to say to me. It might be, in which case, you know, you need to be like, you know, the way you're saying that is kind of rude, and that's breaking one of my boundaries, and I don't appreciate that. or, you know, the child's mimicking tone that they're picking up from television, from social media, or from, you know, language and how we use it.
Right. They pick things up in school. I was always so amazed at all of a sudden Becky didn't like ketchup. Since when do you not like ketchup? Well, Megan doesn't like it. Oh, okay, whatever. What I kind of picked up, and I had the blessing of a neighbor. My next door neighbor was her degree was in child development. So I would go and check with her, what's going on right now? And she would tell me. What I found in that age, the 7 to 9, and 9 was really the biggest one, was the tone of voice, the pushing of the boundaries. And I think so much of it was they need to find out what is safe, where I have to figure out what my world is. Mm-hmm. So I have to test those boundaries. Mm-hmm. If I push this way, what's going to happen? If I push mom that way, what's going to happen? So that they know that they're also safe. Mm-hmm. No matter what they do, they're still loved. Things are still okay, but they have to figure out, okay, where is the boundary? Mm-hmm. And then if you know that's what they're doing, okay, I get that you're testing the boundary. And we can do it in a loving way, but you had to test that to see what would happen. And they're just figuring so many things out. There was one day that I was in the car with my daughter, and she was 9, 10 years old. And, well, mom, if you would have done this. And I looked over at her, and I just drew a line between her and me. And then I put my finger on the other side. That was the end of that discussion. you were looking for the boundary.
Yeah.
You found it. You crossed it. And when you talk like that, I'm not going to hear you. So again, so number one, we have to kind of embrace that our children are, they're gaining enough. They're gaining all of this knowledge, and they're figuring out this really important thing of boundaries, mm-hmm. of acceptable behavior and acceptable interpersonal behavior and interpersonal relationships. So it's a really important thing for them to go through, that they need to understand what would I do that could make mom dislike me? Where is that line where she wouldn't like me anymore? But there's never a line that you can cross that I wouldn't still love you. Mm-hmm. So they have to do it, and that they have to find the line. So you have to tell them, here's the line of unacceptable behavior.
Yeah. Just like the voice, you know, my boundary is I don't listen to whining. You know, my boundary is you need to talk to me appropriately. You know, my boundary is if you want to yell and scream, you can do so in the confines of your room. Right. And so teaching them, I think at an early age, that if you want to get your message across to me, you have the power in your voice. And I'm only going to accept, and we have to make the decision to not accept information from them unless it's coming from a voice that we want to hear. And so we shouldn't be accepting whining. We shouldn't be accepting girls with these high-pitched la 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 voice, or encouraging that, because it's not going to aid or assist her positively in any manner as she gets older. And while it might be cute once or twice, encouraging that behavior, not correcting it, not showing her, hey, when you talk that way, this is the effect that you're having, or this is the impression that you're giving people.
Right.
Is that what you want? You know, you can just ask them, hey, when you talk like that, this is the impression that I get. This is my interpretation. Is that what you want people to think?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you want people to think you are?
Right.
And letting them make that decision instead of us telling them, because I think us telling them also doesn't always work, but making them aware of, you know, there, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it, even with friends, right? Because the conflict with the girls, my oldest daughter has, one of her eyes is weak. So, she tends to look at people a little bit from the side, with one kind of one eye pointing to them. And she does this little scowl with her lip, permanent. As she grows older and her head skull grows, like, it'll correct itself, but there's nothing we can do about it right now. And when she was younger, she would really look at people like that, and she'd kind of squint a little bit, and her lips would kind of have a scowl. And what she was doing was observing and watching, but what people were interpreting was that she was being nasty. Mm. And so we had an incident where the kids thought she was being nasty. And so we had to do some mirror work with her and say, look at how you're standing right now. Or I would have to take pictures and say, this is when you stand there like this, this is what your friends see. And so their interpretation of your body right now is this. So we need to adjust. And I've done the same thing with her with language. She's like, well, I said this to so-and-so today and she got really mad at me. I'm like, well, tell me exactly how you said it. And then I repeated it back and she was like, oh, mm-hmm. And I was like, see, the way you say things, you know, can have a lot of power and it can cause conflicts and right. They don't realize it. So, you know, modeling that with our language and repeating things back to them in the different tones can start, I guess, training their ear to hear things differently and then maybe play with their voice to see, well, when I do this, I elicit this type of response. When I say it this way, I elicit this type of response.
Right. So I think it is necessary to understand that, you know, these pitches always get a certain response. And so you've been hearing it, you've been reacting to it all your lives. You're listening to it on, you know, on ads and things like that. Voice actors do it purposely. We know what it's going to do. That's why we do it. So the idea that, you know, number one, it's awareness. So who even knows that? We know it. You know, I know it because I do it all the time. So number one, understanding that this happens. Just like, you know, we have animal responses to this or whatever, like you found. So there are things that our lower brain reacts to. And it's a look, it's, you know, and that's just animal reaction. So if we're number one, aware that this happens, and it always will, that's the first step. And then understanding that you can actually change it. You can do things purposely. You can move your voice around purposely. And I've heard a number of people saying, oh, I hate my voice, but there's nothing you can do about that. Well, yes, there is. Within an hour, I can teach you what you need to know to put your voice where you want it to be. Here in Milwaukee, we have a lot of nasal. We're mm-hmm. in Milwaukee. You know, we all know it. So you can change that if you want to, because it is, the nasal sound is just kind of hard on the ears. So the awareness of this is how your facial expression affects someone, and it's just this animal brain down here. This is how your tone of voice affects someone. Just that awareness is really important. In talking to girls about this high voice or upspeak, my name is Pam Johnson. It's not a question. That's just habit. Mm-hmm. That's just picking up on the reality TV, mm-hmm. the whatever. And that is, don't do that. Mm-hmm. It is because what you are saying, that was not a question. That was mm-hmm. a statement. A statement ends on a downward
right.
note. That is just the way it is. Do not do that. It will hold you back in life. It's a habit. Stop it. The high stuff, that's also a habit. And I've heard a number of girls do that. And I don't know where it comes from. I think you'd really have to know the girl to know why this started. But it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing because we need to be more powerful. If we sound young, that's okay when you are young. If you're doing that past 13 years old, you're pegged as ditzy, as a pushover, as any number of things. It's a bad thing. And I don't know where it came from. I remember hearing the gymnast, but she was quite young and she was very little. And she talked like that. And I thought, stop it. So it's just a bad habit. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, and she was like, and then he was like, no, that's a bad habit. Cut it out. When I was 13, it was all, you know, and then he, you know, went over here, you know.
The speech crutches, which are hard, and they start at that age because I've had, I've worked on mine for years on and off, and it's the likes come up or the ands or the buts, like I just did right now. now I'm going to constantly notice that, but it comes from, I think, not slowing down, not taking time with your voice, not, you know, slowing, you need to slow down your brain and process things. And I think these are all really great skills that we can be working with our daughters, you know, every single day. It doesn't take a lot. And these are things that can and help her to become more powerful when she's able to convey her message or what she wants or what she doesn't want. And right. So a no that comes off as no is very different than a no that comes off of no.
Correct.
No. And we want girls to say no.
Right.
Or yes, please. Or thank you. And have that, you know, power behind it that this is really what they like, or what they want. And it comes with their confidence and being sure of themselves. And, you know, I love just the one example that you got is when you ask, you know, you're teaching your 2-year-old to say her name. You want her to say, you know, like my little one is, you know, and she still has, you know, the 3-year-old, like can't say all the words yet. And she'll say, my name is Olia Mawia 4. But she says it with this energy and excitement and like, this is who I am. And that's such a great first step in getting them to just say their name or introduce themselves with confidence in just saying their name and not questioning it.
Well, and then another thing, another habit to get into is correct posture. I tend to get lizard throat. If you stand tall, to speak clearly, to let your voice out there, you keep your lower jaw even with the, or parallel to the floor. The minute you tuck, you see this little chin?
Mm-hmm. No, but no, all women know that. You never tuck your chin because then you get the 5 chins.
Right. And, but we know it from the look of it, but it affects your sound.
Right.
So my voice just got all stuffed.
And children will do that when they're shrinking away. And it's almost like that shrinking, like you can see it in their body that when they're scared, they're timid, they close in, they close down, they tuck their chin because they're nervous. You know, they're afraid they're going to get in trouble instead of, you know, and it goes back to like body and power posing and standing up tall and straight and confidence. It's all, you know, tied in together.
Well, I see women 25 to 35 do it. And some of it is because we're on computers, we're on our phone. So we're doing this a lot. Get it up. And then two, because we're on our computers so much, it's what we do all day. We're rolling our shoulders mm-hmm. forward. Well, get them back once in a while so that you have your full lung capacity. Mm-hmm. So there, just the posture makes a difference in how your voice moves, how the air gets out there. And we have to be aware of it. So when your daughter is saying, I couldn't catch all of those with the lack of L's.
Aria Maria Fuller.
Aria Maria Fuller. So her shoulders are back a little bit. Her chin is level. But it's the older girls that we really have to watch. Get your shoulders back. Because, and the power pose. So it's getting into some of the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
Your voice will be heard better.
Yeah.
And people, you have something important to say. I want to hear it.
Right.
That's, let your voice go all the way. Get that nice deep breath of air. Any of the folks that have done yoga, the three-part breath, you always use that bottom, that first part, so that you can expand your lungs as far as you can so that you get more breath, because that's what takes the voice out there.
Yeah.
And don't let the end of your sentences die off.
Yeah. I love that, because it really shows that there's so much that we can do to just help them be stronger by positioning, by body language, by standing up straight, you know, and it's just so symbolic. You know, you stand up straight, your legs spread apart a little bit, open your shoulders up, you know, bring your chin up, be confident. It's going to project in your voice as well. It's going to change that dynamic. And you know, in that 9 to 11 age is where you start to see girls start to constrict and down, because that's, you know, 9 years as well when self-esteem and self-confidence peaks. And so when, if it's going to come down, that's when you're going to start seeing it coming down, and you're going to see girls start to shrink and bring their shoulders in and come down, and they tuck their hands inside of their sleeves, and they tuck their chin, and they become more timid. They almost start to curl up into this fetal position. And I think by just helping them, without saying you need to have more confidence, if we can just start correcting their behavior.
Right.
In terms of their posture, you know, like, just try not to curl in so much. That already starts to boost the confidence, and that'll help to change their voice. And maybe if we just talk to them about changing their voice a little better, or being aware of their voice, this all can lead to the increase in confidence, because it just feels better in your body. You know, your body understands, your lizard brain understands that when you stand that way, you hold yourself that way, you speak that way, that you're confident. And you're coming from a place of confidence and knowing, as opposed to a place of retreating, that, you know, that flight or response is not going off. That's when we start to retreat.
The other thing that came up in a workshop I did last week was, I think some of it is personal space. Mm-hmm. Particularly Americans, we are very conscious of our personal space. We have a large personal space. So it goes probably 2.5 to 3 feet away from us. We have this bubble that people are not allowed to cross. And I think somewhere we also feel that our voices should not cross that. So if a girl is curling up, is it also she's finding her personal space and being protective? Mm-hmm. So if we're concerned about our voices being too loud because they may be invading someone's personal space, I think the way to think about it is that it's not that you are loud per se. Loud has a bad connotation. It is that you are being heard, and the air is not hurting your audience. Your air is moving to them and washing over them a little bit. If your voice is beautiful and is caring and is nuanced and, you know, in a good range, that sound with that air is just going to wash over them and caress them. It's not going to hurt them, and it's okay that it goes into the personal space. If you're going like this, then your voice is no longer beautiful. Yeah. Then that air is like hitting them. But if you have a nice voice, and if you, and your caring shows through your voice, then it's fine. You're not invading the space, you are being heard. And it's okay that that air is going into their space. It's not harmful.
Which is why yelling doesn't work. And I know because I've tried it. And right. There are days, you know, and I tell people all the time, I'm on this journey just like everyone else raising my girls. And I come from a Latina background. So I was spanked, hair pulled, and yelled. There is no talking or really loud talking in the Latina household. And there are days that I yell, and I know I can see it in their face. The minute my voice goes up, they shut down. And right. It's really interesting the way you just described it, because it's your voice getting into their space. Right. And they're saying, I don't feel safe right now. I'm going to shut it all off, which is why half the time when you yell at them, they have no idea what you just said to them or what happened, because they're right. going into their reptile brain, and right. they are shutting everything down, and they are trying to keep themselves, you know, secure. And so I've learned for myself that what is most impactful with my girls is that when I'm really upset because something happened, as long as there, you know, there's nothing immediate that's dangerous that I need to get rid of, I'll take a few minutes to retreat myself till right. I can gather myself to get my thoughts together so that I can have my voice at a place where I can have a conversation with them.
Right.
And it's much more impactful.
Yeah. If you look at sound waves, or in your doing recording, you also see the little spikes.
Mm-hmm.
When it spikes up above that red line, it is hard on the ears. There are different instruments have different shapes of waves. So a voice will tend to have this real pretty wave-like motion. There are sawtooth waves that are brass instruments tend to have them. So it's really interesting. So then you think about this pretty gentle wave versus, you know, this wave or those things spiking above that red line. It's there. It's that ugly wave. So it's actually physics,
yeah.
The physics of sound that's going to affect how the listener perceives it and how it affects them.
For more information on Pam and her work, you can find her at www.pamjohnsonvoicecoach.com. To continue the enlightening conversation, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.